You got it.
From the Gospel according to John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God in the beginning, and everything that came into being through the Word, and without the Word, nothing came into being. What came into being through the Word was life, and the life was the light of all people. And that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overtake it. A man named John was sent from God. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him everyone would believe in the light. He himself wasn't the light, but his mission was to testify concerning the light. And the true light shines on all people, and it was coming into the world. And the light was in the world, and the world came into being through the light, but the world did not recognize the light. And the light came to its own people, and his own people didn't welcome him. But those who did welcome him, those who believed in his name, he authorized to become God's children. Nor when human desires or passions, but born from God, the Word became flesh and made its home among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory like that of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified about him, crying out, "This is the one whom I'm said. He who comes after me is greater than me because he existed before me. From his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. As the law was given through Moses, so grace and truth came into being through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. God, the only Son, who is at the Father's side, has made God known." him in the village, and so they wanted to make sure that he got the education that we need, that would put him on the path that they wanted him to be on. So they made the difficult decision, and they sent him back to the States. The boy began his eighth grade year, a half a world away from his family, and everything went along just fine. Until Christmas. And the boy became terribly homesick. He missed his family so badly during the Christmas season. At one point, he didn't leave his dorm room for a couple of days. He simply couldn't get himself up to go. He just simply was homesick so desperately. Word got up to the headmaster of the school, and the headmaster of the school came down to visit the young boy, trying to do anything to console him, but nothing would seem to help. And finally, the headmaster said, "Little boy, if I could just do one thing for you for Christmas, what is the one thing you would want?" The little boy pointed to the picture of his father above his bed and said, "All I want is for that man to step out of that frame." Don't you feel a little like that kid tonight? Is there a frame somewhere in your house tonight that when you walk back past it, part of you just says, "I want you to step out of that frame tonight"? Just for a moment, just for a few minutes, would you come and sit at our table just one more time? Is there a picture like that in your house tonight? Because I know that there's a picture like that in my house tonight. And so I know that's why we gather here, hoping and praying that maybe just something bigger, maybe someone bigger, would step out of the frame and re-enter our story. That song. Doesn't that song hit you every single time? Oh, holy night. Man, I'm just going to invite the Nahats over to my house just to sing it every year. It's on, right? The song gets it right because the song says that it actually happened. That it actually happened. That God stepped out of the frame and stepped into our lives. The song says that 2,000 years ago, God entered the story. Entered our lives. Came to us in that backwater Palestinian village in a baby born to that unwed, homeless, refugee couple. The song says that was the holiest of all nights and that God left the frame in order to get closer to us. It's like the Gospel of John said it tonight. And every time I hear that part of the Gospel of John, I literally get goosebumps. It says the Word became flesh. Dwelt here among us. Oh, holy night. The night the stars were brightly shining. It's the night that God stepped out of the frame. Oh, holy night. Holiness. Now there's a religious word that's got a little baggage, right? Holiness. That word can be a little bit intimidating. I looked up holiness in the dictionary this week, and this is what it said about holiness. Sacred, endowed with extreme purity, devout, godly, virtuous, without error or corruption, perfect. And let me just say, those are words that no one has ever used to describe me. Endowed with extreme purity. No. Without error or corruption. Hardly. Perfect. Not even on my best days. And so here we are on this, the holiest of what is supposed to be our nights. And I don't know about you, but my experience growing up is this night called the holiest night of the year ended up being some of the least holy moments in my family's experience the whole year round. Is it just my family? Amen?
Amen.
Right? We got to the point where we just call it the traditional moment of tension. Right? Along with the songs and the decorating, we have a traditional Christmas Eve fight. My homeowner has a traditional fight, right? It was always in the rush to get on the right clothes and to get everybody showered and get everybody to the dinner table and get everybody to church at the same time that the stress and tension in the room would usually boil up till somebody on the holiest of nights got into an argument. And it was usually around what somebody was going to wear. I'll never forget coming downstairs one Christmas in my Christmas sweater, the one I had picked out to wear at Christmas Eve service, only to have my father take one look at me and say, "You are not wearing that for Christmas Eve." It had a hole in the sweater, and he said, "You look like you are more dressed to go to the barn than you are to go to church." And I said, "Jesus was born in a barn, I got a problem with that. Get over here." My dad's here, and you can verify the story. True. Holy night, least holy of moments, right? We lived one block away from our church, so we could walk to our neighbor, we could walk to our church. Christmas Eve service, 7 o'clock. You have to get there at 6:30 to get a good seat on Christmas Eve, right? Because all the creasers come on Christmas Eve. You know what the creasers are? The Christmas and Easter people. So my dad, again, would be like, "We got to go." And we couldn't get it together, and he finally just say, "Fine, I'll see you up there." Merry Christmas to you. And we get to Christmas Eve, and my little brother and I would try to get to so we could sit by each other in the pew, because if we could sit by each other in the pew, we could screw around the entire Christmas service. And my parents were doing everything they could to stop us from sitting next to each other. And this is the holiest night of the year. And my brother and I's goal, I didn't need to mention this out loud because some people are going to pick up on this, we could try to get this aisle seat right here, because the candlelight is going to come. And we always had this plan. We take the candle and we wet the wick so that a poor unexpected usher would get to us, trying to spread the light of Jesus in the room. And the candle wouldn't light. On the holiest night of the year, my parents sitting there trying to grasp a hold of something holy. So what makes this night holy when the notion of holiness seems so far away and so distant and so unapproachable and unattainable? Because that's what the people of the Bible often thought about what God was like. Just read the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, people wouldn't even say the name God out loud. It was too holy to mention by unholy people. In the Old Testament, people were always not even trying to look on God. If God was coming by, they would hide their face or hide in a cave. The unholy people couldn't even look at a holy God, that they might die. The temple had the Holy of Holies, where God lived behind a curtain that nobody even could look in the eyes of God. One time a year, the head priest would be tapped on the shoulder, go in and make an offering on behalf of all these unholy people. And it was such a big moment that they didn't tie a rope around this guy's waist in case he went behind the curtain and he saw God and he died. They could drag him out. I mean, it's in the Bible, read it. That's what happens when people think about holiness in that way. And just so that you don't think this is some ancient concept that we have outgrown, I ask you to think for a moment about how often you have let your guilt, how often you have let your shame, how often you have let the mistakes of your past, your imperfections, have made you feel like you are unworthy to come and approach God. Part of what keeps me awake tonight is that there are so many people out there tonight who are afraid to walk in here because they don't feel holy enough to sit in this place. I've heard it once, I've heard it 1,000 times. Preacher, if I walk into your church, that roof is going to fall right in. See, we've got a problem with our understanding of holiness. It's a little like this ladder. I conveniently brought a ladder with me to see you. God stepped out of the frame. God